Ladies and gentlemen, a member of the all-time Chill team, captain of the Columbus Chill, number two, Lance Brady. Lance, how are things?
Great, Chill. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to catch up again. It's great to talk to you. You're in your fifth year as a head coach at Assumption College in Worcester. You're still in hockey. Northeast 10 Coach of the Year last year. How do you like the coaching business?
I really love it. It's been great. It's been a great experience for me. It poses, obviously, many challenges. And it's something that I've always, you know, loved to do, and I've been coaching for many, many years. But to be able to have this type of influence on, you know, kids at this age level and this mindset, you know, helping them succeed in both the classroom and on the ice has been very rewarding. I have the support of my family, and it's a lot of fun, but it can be trying at times.
Hey, you're a busy guy because you're also a senior project manager at Microsoft. So how do you fit everything in? You've got family, you've got coaching, you're working for the big Microsoft giant. How do you do it?
It's a lot. My days are very long, in from October to March. Like I said, I have a great support structure with my family, my wife. My boss here at Microsoft is a big hockey fan. He understands, you know, what I'm doing, and the you know, Microsoft does understand you have lives outside of work, and I'm able to balance both, you know, possibly three things going on, you know, for that time period. But it's you know, they're long days and they're challenges, and you're not just a hockey coach. Sometimes you're a psychiatrist as well to these kids, and you're a confidant, and you know, you're obviously the full time work is priority. But working, you know, at Microsoft, you work with a bunch of very intelligent people who are very proud of what they do, and they want to succeed as much as you do.
Now, as far as when you played in Columbus, you played for Mo Mantha and for Terry Ruskowski. As a coach, have you taken anything from them and their styles at all in your coaching career?
I think I've definitely taken a little bit of both. You know, Roscoe will always have a great, you know, a little place in my heart. He gave me an opportunity as an undrafted Division III American guy, and he really showed me what you know, minor league hockey was all about, you know, kind of that lunch pail kind of attitude, the way he played the game, being able to bring in different levels of hockey players and bring in, you know, Wolfie and Clayton Young and, you know, putting together a balanced team of college kids and junior kids was something that, you know, kind of I took into the college ranks. You need to, you know, you need role players. You need scorers. You need, you know, energy lines. You need tough defensemen. You need a goaltender that can stop the puck. I think he really, you know, solidified a good recipe of what it takes to be successful at that type of level. I think Mo really kind of, with his NHL experience, maybe fine-tuned my personal play. And being able to get to the next level, getting out of the East Coast League and into the AHL, he was able to give me that opportunity, which I'll never forget. So definitely two different styles and two different influences on my life. Two people I also talk to on a couple months bimonthly basis now. Last time I talked to Terry was probably about a month or so ago. They're both ones Terry's involved with. You know, still minor league hockey. I have two kids who played for me last year who are playing minor league hockey. And then Mo is the coach of a junior team, which I talk with him about trying to, you know, recruit kids and come out east and, you know, play for Assumption.
Yeah, it's and Mo being a guy who played in the NHL as a defense, but I think one of the things that you mentioned, the combination of the two, Terry with his, you know, lunch bucket, you know, tough as nails, workmanship style. You had a lot of that in your game that I think the fans in Columbus really loved about you, but you were able to move your career to the next level, and I think both those guys, but in particular Mo as a defenseman, had a lot of experience at the higher level, so you were able to play in the International League for a while, and then it had to be a lot of fun to play in Worcester, in your neck of the woods, where you're coaching now, as a guy who got to play in the American Hockey League.
Yeah, you know, getting playing for the Ice Caps was very special. You know, I started my second year in the professional ranks at playing for the Ice Caps at camp, and, you know, getting a few games in the beginning, and if a lot of people forget that was one of the first years they actually had a strike, and probably hurt me a lot because they sent guys down. With the ice cap being independent, they could definitely bring in a much more vast array of players. And from there, I got sent back to the Chill and had a decent year. Ended up being called up, I think, to Cleveland at one point, and then back to the Ice Cats at the end of the year. And you know, having some decent success, got to play some games against Providence and Springfield and my neck of the woods, and had a lot of college roommates in the area, and especially and also family who got to see me play at that, you know, that level, one step below the NHL.
When you arrived in Columbus, it was quite an atmosphere. And every game was a sellout. You come in your first year, you're pro hockey, and what was it like as a player to come right into that atmosphere where every game was packed? You had a huge fan support. It had to be a lot of fun, but it also had to be a challenge to avoid letting the distractions, you know, keep you from playing as well as you could.
Yeah, it was a total experience for sure, especially for a college kid. I think, you know, coming into camp, we had a good mix of players. And you heard the stories from the vets about how this place is rocking, but you never really understood it until you got out there for that, you know, for that first game. And I think I remember, you know, we came in that game in the limos, and I remember calling my father from the payphone. And if you remember the welcome area of the Chill, there was that payphone right by the Coke machine. And I think it was like 10 minutes or whatever it was before we were supposed to go out. And I'm on the phone to my mom and my dad. I'm like, you can't believe what I'm about to do. You know, we're going on the ice in limos in front of 7,000 people at a East Coast Hockey League game. It was just awesome. I think you definitely understood the situation you were in and how we kept on selling out, and, especially the support of the fans and how they were concerned about us as hockey players, but also concerned about us as people off the ice, and, you know, inviting us over to their homes for dinner, and, you know, making sure that we were taken care of during the holidays, and just the overall support from the entire community. And it was, you know, you look now, I even look back, and I think I appreciate even more of, you know, I'm like, man, we used to sell out 7,000 people every single night. And even, you know, I still live in the Worcester area, and I get to the Sharks games, and, you know, on a random night, they got 2,300, 2,500. Granted, they have some big nights against the Providence or whatever, but, you know, I don't know a team in the East Coast League or below right now that actually has that type of fan support. I think Chicago might still have it in the AHL, but you know what. Columbus did, and the way they marketed it, and what David did, in combination with, you know, obviously, you know, other people, his support staff with Brent Maurer and everybody, it's going to be a franchising that's going to be talked about for a long time.
Yeah, we used to say 5,700 though for fire code purposes, but yeah, there were a lot of nights. You were right. Your number was a lot closer than ours.
Yeah,
so, you were a part of at least two of the most memorable playoff series in the history of the franchise. That first one against Johnstown in '93. I don't think anyone will ever forget the whole series, but especially that first home game to come out with, you know, bombs going off. Really, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was. The fireworks was quite an experience. If I remember correct, we won that on home ice in the last game of the series.
Yep.
Yeah, and we lost the, I think it was a five-game series, and I think we lost the fourth game in Johnstown. And I think it was a pretty bad loss. And we were all kind of questioning, and we had to get on the bus and ride home multiple hours, and we were playing cards, I think, on the way home, and we were sitting kind of looking at each other, and like, why did we let it get this far? And we're looking around at each other and say, we got to make a commitment to each other that this is going to be a win for us. We deserve it. We've worked this hard. Our coaches have put in the time and effort. You know, our fans absolutely love us. And you know, we need to go out. We need to do the right things when we get home. You know, the next few days, we get some days off, or maybe a day off, a couple days off. We need to get rest. We need to get good food in us, and we need to come out. And we need to put on a show, and we need to play with the confidence and, you know, with the talent that we have, and, you know, take it to them. That's what we did.